The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
That's it. That's it.
Do it. Matt Bobola is steamrolling best tonight.
Like I said, I'm just getting more comfortable in here every time. And you know, you're going to be seeing a lot more of me.
Matt the Steamroller Fribola.
It is all over. It is all over. Dean Thomas. Beautiful. Blitz by rear naked choke.
You know, everybody needs a little break. I took a little break. Now I'm back to break people.
Dean Thomas.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to you. No, you do it.
That's the start. Welcome, you do it. And there we are. The beginning of today's podcast. Matt says, welcome, you do it. Welcome.
Oh, shit. Why am I lightheaded? I had such a crazy morning.
Let's bring on Max Crosby from the Raiders. We have Dean Thomas and Matt Frivola, who just, what an incredible TKO. Looks so great. Of course, I almost texted you, Matt, but I wasn't sure if you were out there or not.
You should have texted me. It would have been nice. What's up, Matt?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Matt, how you doing, brother? How you doing, Jim?
Hey, I'm good, man.
It's funny. My brother, I told him I'm getting on here with Matt Serra. We still remember when you beat GSP. It was literally the craziest moment.
Wow. For me, too. Thank you, man. You were probably a youngster back then watching that.
Little one. I've been watching since I was a kid, man. That's crazy.
Oh, that's funny. That's awesome, man. Thank you. And now, you've been watching for a long time?
Yeah, my dad had us start watching when we were like literally 5, 6 years old.
Does he train at all or no? He just likes it.
My dad's just a big fan.
Oh, he's just a big fan.
Yeah. Have you ever messed around with anything? Like any jiu-jitsu, used to wrestle, anything?
This past offseason, I started doing boxing and a little bit of jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. I'm trying to do more. I do it for the workout and the cardio part of it. It's fun.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah, man. That's what I tell people. They get so afraid to walk into like a jiu-jitsu school or they're like, they think they have to fight in a cage. No, it's not even like that, man. It's such a fun way of staying in shape.
100%. You get more deadly and it's the cardio is unlike any other workout. Like you can't replicate it. It's unreal.
Now, you are 6'5", about 250?
It's 6'5", 265.
265. Okay, the heavyweight limit, yeah. But a guy like you, a big guy like you, like if I was your size, I would never even think about it anyway, just because you're a big dude. So people probably don't fuck with you for no reason.
Yeah, I usually don't run into trouble, but I'm not looking for it either. There's a ton of guys that can't avoid that. So
when you're a big guy, how do you prevent yourself? Like, because I'm 5'6", and I can't fight for shit, so it's easy how I avoid trouble. But how does a big dude not – how do you not use that to your advantage? Like, does it take restraint where you want to say something, but you're like, that's an easy target, I shouldn't, and so you don't?
You know, that's why a reason why I kind of got into football. I was always like – me and my brother were all kind of wired a little bit different when we were kids. We were super competitive, and we liked physical sports and stuff like that. So – instead of me and my brother literally beating each other up, we got into football. Like that's why we started. He got into football. My dad, he wanted me to get into it. So we started from like literally first grade and we've been playing ever since. We've always been super competitive and I've always been, you know, into physical sports. So it kind of keeps me away on the outside world because I already beat myself up enough, you know, on the field and all that.
Did you watch the fights? You watching Ngannou gone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was back home in Texas. I watched it with my brother and my dad, like usual. And the co-main was insane. Honestly, the Moreno-Figueiredo fight, that was probably my favorite fight.
Incredible.
I think it went either way. But, yeah, Francis, me and my brother are big Francis fans. So we were hyped up. My dad was half asleep. And he was all irritated because he wanted to see. You know, everybody, you see those two and you think fireworks, but
yep.
It's usually the opposite. And that's exactly what it was. But Francis found a way and he's been looking like a champion. He's been fighting like a champion, you know, finding different ways to get better. And
yeah,
he's wrestling now. So it's been awesome.
Now, I don't want to necessarily disagree, but Jimmy.
Yeah, buddy.
Is it more what he did? What exactly did he do? And I'm not being a jerk. Jimmy, one second. The takedowns were beautiful. The takedowns were beautiful. All right. Now, I'm going to say there wasn't much done on the feet as far as standing.
Agreed.
The takedowns is what won him the fight. It's more what Ciryl Gane, if he had a better fight IQ, we have a new champion.
That's exactly it.
Down with that fucking leg. What was he thinking? Talk about laces out. Max, yeah. Talk about laces. I know you saw, as a football fan, I know you saw Ace Ventura.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, laces out all day long. He's going to be baking those cookies like that fucking guy and getting – he might be like, what a mistake. Why? I don't think Francis was getting out of there. And if he did get out of there, he would have been worse to wear on his feet. I mean, I don't know.
He got that leg.
He had over 4 minutes to work. Sorry.
You said it right. No, fight IQ. That was the first thing I thought of. Francis's fight IQ, because he had some kind of an ACL, I think, injury. He had a leg injury, so he wore two braces. And Ciryl was not kicking his legs that much, if at all. And Ciryl was up 2-0. And the fight IQ, he found a way to neutralize him. To me, that was all just experience. Even though it wasn't fun to watch, it was a little dull to watch, he found a way to stop Ciryl from doing what he wanted to do. And Ciryl was not being stopped by Francis's punches, and he wasn't catching him. So what he did was kind of smart. He wasn't able to put him up against the cage and really do much with him, and he found a way to put him on the ground. And Ciryl should not have let himself get caught like that.
Max?
100%. And that's the way we looked at it. After the first two rounds, we're like, Francis can't stand with him. He literally bounces around like a lightweight. So he was picking him apart and doing what he does and keeps his distance. And then you could tell Francis was a little half step slow because his injury and things like that. And he couldn't chase him around. So, you know, Francis did what he had to do. I think at the end of the day, he had to get him to the ground. I wish Francis could have done more on the ground. He took him down. And like you said, it was boring, but he really didn't land anything on the ground either. He just he literally just held him on the ground and that was it. And yeah, it's a credit to Ciryl. You know, obviously got taken down, but that dude literally takes no damage. It's unreal.
That's what I'm saying. He came out clean.
Yeah.
Probably with a better gas tank also. It came down to that fifth round. Ray Longo was funny. You know Ray Longo, Max? You know that big
guy? I know of him.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like an extra in The Sopranos. Yeah, you should have heard him. He's like, oh, what the fuck did the guy do? He goes, he defended the title and didn't throw a punch. That's what he says.
Yeah, he's right. He was right. He didn't do much.
Now, listen, it came down to the fifth round, correct?
Yes.
It came down to the fifth round. So he needed that fifth round to win. Got a great corner advice from Eric Nixick. It was heartfelt. It was motivating and technical. But what happened within fucking 20 seconds? He got single-legged. He got put on his ass. And then it wasn't so much what he did right. Talk about fight IQ. It's the lack of fight IQ by the very talented Ciryl Gane. He fucked up. He was controlling him. He laid down with a leg. And then when he had a chance to get on top another time, he went for the other leg. Dude, this ain't the fucking EBI. This ain't a grappler's quest. You got to get a grappler's quest in the old organization. He should have got on top and secured that position because I don't think Francis had the juice to get out of there. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying where – I'm not super impressed, but again, listen.
Let me interrupt you. I thought maybe also Francis might have been so strong because Francis really did body slam him at one point. Francis is probably by far the strongest guy he's faced. Do you think he went for the leg because, like Francis on top of him, Francis couldn't get much done. Maybe he was afraid that Francis would be able to reverse him or push him off because he felt how strong he was. So maybe he wanted to finish it quick with the leg. Is that possible?
That's, I'm going to say a hard no.
Okay.
But I'm going to say, Max is funny. He's laughing at that. Honestly, I think he's like, oh, the leg. I'll make him tap like I do in class.
Oh, okay.
But in class, in jiu-jitsu training, some guy can go, I'm dead. Wait, all right. That might fuck my knee up. Not when you're locked in a cage with another individual and you're looking to defend your belt. You're laying down and you get that fucking behemoth on top. Dude, this leg's taller than me. I mean, that thing's a tree trunk. I mean, listen, I don't know. I think that was a big, big mistake.
It was. But to let himself get in a position where he needed the fifth round when he was implementing his game plan in the first two rounds. That's also, again, it was not exciting to watch, but he had no answer for what Francis did. Like Francis had no answer for Stipe pushing him up against the cage in the first fight. He had no answer for it where he couldn't implement what he wanted to do because Francis was able to lay on top of him.
Well, the answer was in that fifth round, what are we going to do? We're getting out grappled. I'll tell you what, we out grapple him.
Yeah.
So he put him down. That's a perfect answer for it. What are you going to do? He's getting me up against the cage. He put me down. I'm going to out grapple him. Get him down. And then you blew it. He fucking blew it. But I mean, Max, he had him, Max.
He did have him. We thought it was over. When he took Francis down, we're like, oh, here you go. It's over. Francis had all the momentum, and he took him down, and he got reversed, and that was it.
He didn't get out. He didn't skillfully reverse him. He didn't go for a submission to reverse him. He got off him, and he tried to get the limb by getting off him, and it doesn't take a genius to go, the guy with the weight's off me. I'm getting on top. I'm going to smash, and he got out. It's a very frustrating. God, look, he looks like he has the right attitude. He's the only guy with, he wasn't touched. Even on the floor, he was still doing things right enough to keep, Francis on his toes where to keep controlling him. You can't control him and hit him at the same, keep him in and land shots at him at the same time. He was always moving. His hips were moving. But, I don't know, man. He's still a serious threat.
Absolutely.
He is, but how does he do against Curtis Blaydes if he fights him? Like, Curtis Blaydes against Guy would be an interesting matchup. Does he get a hold of him, and can he neutralize? Because he's much more solid on the ground than Francis. Is he able to do that to him?
Very interesting, Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's the fight to make there, McMaynard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's all. It's like kind of how Kevin Holland was. Like, Kevin Holland was knocking everybody out.
That's right.
And they found out he could get taken down. And then all of a sudden, everyone's taking him down. So I think Blaydes and a few of these big guys are going to – that's all they're going to try to do is just take him to the ground because he's so quick and skillful up top. You're literally wasting your time trying to stand with him.
Yeah, but he wasn't hurting Francis. I mean, some of those kicks were definitely those front kicks, and he's really, really interesting and fun to watch. But it didn't seem like he was doing a whole lot of damage any more than Francis was really damaging him. It reminded me, I think it was Roy Nelson against Derek Lewis. Lewis won that fight, but just kind of laid on Roy. Am I correct to remember? That's been years ago. I was actually at the fight.
Versus Derek Lewis, you're saying?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember.
I watched that with you, Jimmy.
Yeah, we were there. But do you remember it was one guy laid on top of the other guy? I just don't remember the fight as well. We saw Derek Lewis after out back with Dana. I just don't remember who won. It might have been.
No, I think Derek won.
Derek won, but he just kind of laid on Roy, right? He just laid on Roy.
But he got out from underneath Roy and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it was that kind of fight where it was just.
Roy was getting him down, but he was getting out type of thing.
Right. If I remember. Okay. Right. Was Roy just laying on him?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I know Brandon Moreno versus Figueredo. What did you guys agree with the decision, Max? Do you agree with it?
I did.
It was close.
I think just watching, I feel like the biggest moments in the fight were Figueredo. He had the couple of knockdowns. True. He had like the jaw dropping, like, oh, damn, like those moments. I feel like Moreno stunned Figueredo a few times, but he kept his composure and he was able to keep going. So, yeah, you got to give credit to Cejudo and his team and all them. Like, he literally changed everything and went and got the win. So I think they have to have the fourth fight at this point.
It's crazy, right? They have to have it. Yeah.
They have to have it. So there's not a lot of guys in that division anyway. So I feel like you have to do the fourth fight.
Yeah, it's like Jake LaMotta and Sugar Ray Robinson. They just kept fighting each other. And with these two guys, it's by far the best matchup. in that division. I thought at one point, was it the first or second round where there was only like 10 seconds left, Figueiredo dropped him and then went almost for a submission. And I'm like, maybe that's just your instinct, but it seemed like he should have got off a few punches instead, knowing there was so little time to secure a submission.
Hey, man, not to make a left turn. Mac, did you see the new Matrix?
No, I haven't.
Jimmy, did you see it?
I did. Wait, did I? I might have seen some of it. I might have seen some of it. What about it?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it now. You guys didn't see it.
But I might have. Did he have a black coat on and there was something happening?
All right. Well, I'm going to do my movie review later. We're not going to waste Max's time. What's the last movie you saw, Max? You're a movie guy or no?
Last movie I seen, I can't even tell you. Me and my girlfriend, we watch a bunch of Netflix like shows and series. So
that's what I want to know. Forget this MMA stuff. What are you watching? You don't have to tell me if it's embarrassing, like 90 Day Fiance. You know?
Oh, no, I'm not watching that. We just watched that show. Stay Close. Stay Close. You got to watch that.
Stay Close. Is that a series?
What is
series? Yeah, it just came out. It's one of the like top trending shows out right now. You got to watch it.
I want to be young. I want to be hip. I want to be with it. What is it about?
It's like a British, I think it's somewhere in England, but basically it's there's so many things. I don't even know where to start, okay. But it's crazy. And there's murder and there's a bunch of wild shit going on.
Oh, you got me at murder. Stay close. I'm going to check that out, man.
Yeah, you got to check it out.
Yeah, I just started. What's it called with Kevin Costner, Yellowstone. I watched
one episode.
It was good. The first episode was good. The second episode is okay. I have to get through it. As long as it's not like Succession, because I don't like Succession. So if someone says like Succession with cowboy hats, so I hope it's not that. But the first episode I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, I've heard Yellowstone from everyone keeps telling me to watch it. So I think that's the next one, too. Literally all my teammates, everyone keeps saying, watch Yellowstone. So
I got all these streaming services. What, I got to go get the Peacock now?
Yeah, I just buy it. I just buy the series. I can't fucking look for it. I can't go to Hulu because they keep telling me my subscription is not good enough. Your subscription doesn't cover this. My Hulu subscription covers shit. So I just go and buy them on iTunes. It's easier.
I'm not getting that shit with commercials either. Forget that. All right, listen, we got all the hard questions answered here on Max, man. Listen, where are you located? You're in Vegas.
Yep, I'm in Vegas. I live in Henderson.
There's so many jiu-jitsu schools out there. Hey, if you don't try out jiu-jitsu there, if you're ever near Long Island, New York, you get my schools there, buddy. You come down, I give you your first jiu-jitsu lesson. I'd be an honor.
Absolutely. If I'm in New York, I mean? I'm going to take you up on that. We'll get some pizza. And
hell yeah. Oh, Umberto's is right next door. Umberto's, right?
Yeah, I've been to John Wood out here at a Syndicate.
Oh yeah, great guy, John Wood.
Yeah, that's my guy. That was the gym I went to. I went and watched her. I watched Strickland and them spar and everything this off season. So I'm gonna go back there and get some lessons and stuff with them this year.
So you basically watched them street fight, basically in a gym.
100%.
Short Strickland spar. It's fucking great.
It's unreal.
Yeah,
nothing like I've ever seen.
Hey, Max, good talking to you. We got Dean Thomas in the waiting room, and then we got Matt Frivola. But we definitely love you to come back, man. It was fun talking to you.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you guys. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Max. Good talking to you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Oh, Jimmy, congratulations, man, on your show getting renewed and whatnot.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we signed
that. Old news? I just seen it on YouTube.
No, maybe a month ago we signed, or 3 weeks ago. But who? I don't talk about it.
You never talk about it.
Yeah, I never do.
Dean Thomas, can you take your appearances on this show seriously and not just...
What are you talking about? I always take my appearances seriously.
Dean Thomas, I can't give you shit. I did the same thing when I was on Jim and Sam. I had horrible reception. Where are you? You got good reception.
Oh, I do. I'm at the gym, man. I'm outside the gym. One of the gyms that I go to sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, man. Well, listen, that's very secretive. You don't let us know where you are.
Yeah. One of the gyms.
I'm at my mistress's house, Matt.
Hey, man, listen. Oh, first of all, Jimmy, I'll say congratulations on the latest episode of Dana White Looking for a Fight.
Yes, really well done.
As Jimmy was pointing out, it's just about at the 1 million mark.
Yep.
So, you know, hey, man, I salute, you know, thank you. I know who wasn't one of those million.
Well, you don't watch your own stuff?
I watch it. I'm saying, I don't have nothing wrong with my neck. I'm just trying to say, you little fuck. You
didn't watch it.
You don't support. Dude, this poor guy ate cow balls, and you're not even supporting the guy.
I did watch it. Yes, I did. Do you watch Chip?
Yeah, I watched Chip.
No, I mean Matt.
Chip? Fuck yeah! I'm a secret fan. I don't know. That's not a good Chip, but he does.
It is, actually. It captures Chip's soul. Hey, Dean, we were just talking to Max Crosby, plays for the Raiders, about the Ngannou fight. And we'll talk about the Moreno-Figueiredo. What did you think? I thought the right decision was handed out because, again, did he drop him four times? How many times did he drop Moreno? Was it four?
I don't know.
He dropped him quite a few times. But I still don't think that was enough to win the fight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't think that was enough to win those rounds. So I thought he was getting beaten those rounds, and then that one punch to me didn't win the round for him.
That's right, Dean Thomas. Tell him why you're mad, Dean Thomas.
I ain't mad about it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought we were having a moment. You were getting wiped off, and I'm backing you up.
Nah, trust me. I'm not mad about it, but that's just what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all picked Figueiredo, so I mean, I was just wasn't surprised when he won.
Yeah, but you know what? Like maybe. No, I actually picked Moreno, but maybe I'm just biased. Maybe I thought Moreno won because you kind of wanted Moreno to win because he's such a good, likable guy that maybe you just wanted him to win so bad that it was so close and you were like, you know what? Moreno won. But who knows?
Unless you have a dark little heart.
I wanted Figueiredo. Unless you
have a dark little, evil little, dark black bird heart.
I wanted like Figueiredo. No, because... My the first fight was a draw. In the second fight, Moreno was so great and choked him out. And I wanted Figueiredo to get to have a shot at beating him. And I also wanted to see a fourth fight. I think that rivalry between those guys is so incredible. And no one's ever fought four times in the UFC. So I kind of wanted to see that continue.
Yeah, I think so too. But you know what's even more important in that fight? Is more so than Figueiredo won that fight, Moreno lost that fight, I think. I think there were moments in that fight where Moreno was playing around where he should have been fighting. But I think that cost him the fight. He got a little emotional.
It's funny you say that about the co-main event, about that fight. I was saying the same thing about the main event. That's not so – I mean
– Still, God lost that fight too.
Oh, he lost that fight. Yeah, he came down to the fifth round. He made the correction.
And he lost that.
Like, he made the correction. Who, the Ciryl Gane? What was the correction?
No, I'm saying he lost that fight himself.
He blew.
No, I know what he did wrong.
Yeah, man, the fifth round, something happened. The fifth, came down to the fifth round, all right? Mm-hmm. Came down to the fucking fifth round. Francis didn't make a correction in that fifth round. He got taken down in the opening.
Yeah, exactly.
He got taken down, and then when he got taken down, he didn't use a nice, beautiful underhook to get on top. He didn't use a half-guard sweep. He didn't do a good old-fashioned elevator. He fucking got off him. Gone got off him. Gone fucked up. It wasn't his, oh, look, I'm getting out of here. It's like, oh, you're off me. Oh, might as well fucking follow you up.
And Francis used all of his skill to not get leg locked. He used all of his jiu-jitsu skill. Francis went down on purpose because he knew that it would be a mistake by Gone. That's how I'm seeing it.
Listen. No, you're right. Listen, Francis got taken down. He tried to get back up initially. And Gone pushed him back down and kept him down. And then he went for the stupid leg lock.
Dude.
That was a terrible mistake. He lost that fight on his own.
Why do you think he did that, Dean?
I think he wanted to finish, obviously. He wanted to try to get the finish and maybe say that he finished, you know, Ngannou and and that's how they won the fight. But that was a terrible, terrible mistake. Like, you can't, that was a really bad mistake.
I would love, yeah, Jimmy was hoping that you'd think that he was afraid of his strength.
No, that wasn't what I said. I'm not afraid of it, but I said, is it possible? Because when Francis was on top of him, he didn't do anything. It was almost like he was afraid to posture up and really pound him because he was afraid of getting pushed off. He didn't do anything but lay on him. So I was like, I don't know why he didn't, but I was wondering if Gon in that same position was like, I'm not going to get anything done here. And if I do something wrong, he's going to be strong enough to push me off. And maybe he just felt like he went for something because he didn't have faith in his ability to do anything on top of him. Because Francis didn't do anything on top of him.
What do you think of that, Jim? What do you think of that, Dean?
No, I don't necessarily know if that was it.
Probably right.
I think it was more of a matter of him just wanting to finish.
Wanting to tap him?
Yep. Yeah, and wanting to get the submission. I think that was in his head, like, I can submit this guy. He's not that good on the ground. I know I can submit him if I get the opportunity. But that was the wrong time to do it. That was the absolute. I mean, if I was his coach, I would have pulled my hair out at that moment.
Dude, unless your name's fucking Ryan Hall or Gary Tonin, don't lay down with the legs.
Yeah.
Don't lay down with the legs. Unless you've taken dozens of legs. I mean, look, he obviously feels comfortable with a heel hook. He finished a prior fight with that, you know, but the ground could, you want to finish the fight, fucking elbow him in the face. The guy had nothing to say. The guy get taken
exactly.
Down. What the fuck? You could stay in half guard with him and just watch out for a Kimura and just beat the crap out of him. I don't know. He has jujitsu. You've seen the way he was threatening with the Kimura. He was threatening with some of his grappling. I would like, and hey, listen, the best fucking matchup of the day is what Jimmy just brought up. How would Ciryl Gane deal with a guy like Curtis Blaydes?
I brought him up with our last guest. Yeah, because he showed that if you take him down, he might have, again, he might have a problem or might make a bad move. And against a guy like Curtis Blaydes, that could absolutely cost you the fight quickly.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets taken down by Curtis Blaydes, I can see him having a problem. You know, I was unimpressed with Ciryl Gane's bottom game. I mean, his bottom game didn't look good at all. I mean, he got out-positioned. He got dominated. And, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, the size difference. But that don't really matter. I mean, you know, when you got good jiu-jitsu hips, you know how to move your hips to negate size differences to at least maintain a defensive position. And he could, and he wasn't even in a great defensive position.
Who's that? Who? Ciryl?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't getting beat up down there, though. So
he wasn't getting beat up for sure, but he wasn't in a position to where he could mount an offense.
It's true. Yeah. Well, that's what lost him those two rounds.
What do you think happened? I would like both of your. Because in rounds one and two, he looked so good, and Francis didn't have any answers. So how did he let himself fall apart? I think three and four are even more critical than five, because he never should have been in that position to begin with if he had just kept doing what he was doing. So what do you think happened in the third and fourth round that allowed Francis to do what he did?
Well, I'll tell you now, I think there were a couple of things that happened. One, the fact that he couldn't hurt Francis. He kicked him in the head with that wheel kick, and Francis kept coming. Those body kicks, Francis walked right through him. So I think that sort of discouraged him. And then when he got taken down by that big slam, I think that was kind of the nail in the coffin for him, where he was discouraged. You could see it in his face where he was like, and it's the first time I've ever seen him show a negative emotion in a fight. Normally in fights, he's so calm and collected. But at that moment when he got taken down, you saw him go, oh shit, what just happened? And I think that discouraged him. And then he fell apart after that. I think that was the moment he fell apart. The fact that he couldn't hurt Francis on the feet, even though he was touching him. And the fact that he got picked up so easily, I think just really kept him out of the fight.
Felt how strong Francis was.
Yeah, but the point is this. So by the fifth round, somebody has to make a correction. Who makes the correction in that fifth round? Ciryl Gane made the correction. Now he's no longer staying on his toes and hitting them. And now he's initiating the grappling. He strikes into the clinch. Boom, boom, single leg, puts him down. He made the correct adjustment between the fourth and fifth round. Francis didn't. Francis just reacted off of fucking Ciryl Gane's major mistake. So, I mean, so what do you say by that, man? Francis pulled it off. Well, no, man, fuck, Francis fucking kind of lucked out, because he was doing good, but he would have been doing just good enough to lose, because that fifth round was all for the taking. He got taken down early. He showed no sign of getting up. There was no sign of him being like, oh, look, he's almost manipulating his balance.
No.
He was looking dead. And all he had to do is keep that position, you know?
Yeah.
But no, you want to be one of these modern kids going for the old Ashigarami. No, I'm only kidding. Listen, I sound like an old grumpy jiu-jitsu guy. No, but look, you got to fucking get that position, man.
You're right. Ciryl Gane made the correct adjustment. he had that single leg dump. And then from there, he established good top position. And then just, oh my God, it was like, it was so frustrating to watch. I was what in the world is he doing?
What the fuck are you doing? I know.
Yes.
But listen, it goes down to fight IQ. He doesn't have that many fights and everything's been going so well for him. And look, man, that was it shows that he could beat Francis. How about that?
Yeah.
But if he goes out, I mean, he survived that. How about him surviving that onslaught? This is the thing with my little Jimmy. He is so on the train now, and I give him shit for getting off the train.
But I was never off the train. Go ahead.
You hopped off the second he ran into the Black Beast.
No.
You were like Pee Wee Herman. Shoo, fly, shoo, fly, shoo. Shoo, fly, shoo, fly, shoo.
I didn't
shoo,
like
fly, shoo, fly, shoo. And you're like, ah! You jumped the fuck off. That's what happened.
I didn't like how he fought Lewis. I didn't like how he fought Derek Lewis. Because he wasn't throwing punches, because I'm like, the guy lost faith in his punches. But I still liked him, but I didn't like how he fought Derek Lewis. And Derek Lewis said he had a bad back in that fight, but I didn't like how he fought either. It was just two guys who obviously worried about the power of the other guy. Not saying it's, I get why.
Fairweather fan?
Yes, but that's not being Fairweather. If you see somebody doing something you don't like that's wrong, you have to call it out. What am I not going
to
say it?
Listen to me. My point is this.
Yes.
You totally lost faith in the guy. But you're back.
I picked him. Who picked Francis to win this fight? I picked Francis.
You did.
And I picked Figueiredo.
Figueiredo. Let's not split hairs in front of our...
you got lucky, Jimmy.
Fighting in front of their little nephew. Listen,
Dean... But you see, he thinks I jumped off... I like Francis before it was popular to like Francis, first of all.
It's bad enough you pissed them off our last interview.
He's like, I love
him. Think they're worried about your power. He's like, I have more than power. He's getting pissed. You don't got to leave, Jimmy. No.
I hit my table. I hit my table and my piece of shit camera connection fucking turned off. My camera sucks.
Listen, I love Francis too. Matt Frivola's ready to go. Are you hanging out with us? Are you taking off, Dean? What are you doing?
No, I got 30 minutes.
Oh, hang out more then, man.
Yeah. Let's go, man. Put Frivola on.
Get fucking that crazy ginger in here.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
There he is.
Holy shit. Look at you, you Spartan. Do you even have a mark on you?
No, a little cut here, you know, but we're good.
Dude, listen, congratulations.
No, okay? Thanks.
Everybody's so freaking happy for you. Longo, you know, Ray Longo, guys, you would have seen Longo there, but he fucking got the COVID. So the last second, he couldn't make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was with us in spirit, and as were you.
Man, Ray Longo stayed with COVID.
What?
Ray Longo always got COVID.
Yeah, and he's still ticking. He's still walking around. That's a good sign. But he said he spent a lot of time with you in this camp, Maddie.
Oh, yeah. Me and Ray, we were working a lot, you know, really trying to crisp up my striking and get my awareness on point. And, you know, I think it showed in the fight.
You know what I like? I'm sorry, Jimmy. I just want to throw this out there. You know, you were coming off a couple losses, and you always got the craziest of circumstances of who's dropping out, who's replacing last second, and you know, it's you never had an easy situation, an easy fight. But where the fuck was now? Fuck, wait a minute, hold on, bring me back. Bring me back, Jimmy. Where was
he? Was coming off some losses.
The Matrix. The Matrix.
Everybody knows me here, so they bring me right back. So a lot of times when guys are coming off losses, they fight more reserved. But dude, yeah, you, not only do you not fight more reserved, you fucking got that berserker fucking rage, and you it's like it's all you're always so game. Was it how come you there's no nothing ever crept in your head to be like, shit, man, this is my if I lose this one, I could be out. Maybe I should be more, you know, defensive and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. No, that never came to my head. You know, I was prepared to go in there and punch that guy for 15 minutes if I had to. But, you know, and that was it. The preparation, I was ready for 15 minutes of war if it needed to be. But going into the fight, you know, with Ray, we were working a lot of awareness, a lot of patience going in there. It was, I was trying to, you know, I was trying to be patient in there, but I think
that was patient.
Well, you know, that was, I was trying to be more patient, but I heard him. And I think once I heard him, I smelled blood and that killer instinct came out. And, you know, that killer instinct is in me and I'm trying to get it more calculated. But in the end of the day, you know, I smelt blood. I knew the finish was close and I was ready to keep punching him for 15 minutes if I needed to get that finish. And we got it.
And you dropped him, what, four times? Did you think that, like, I love Mike Beltran. I think he's a great ref. I think he's, like, everyone loves Herb Dean and he's a great, but Mike Beltran is very underrated. And he really, really seems to be as close and as on top of the action as anybody else. Were you surprised he didn't stop that sooner? Or did you think he made, like, yeah, no, I wasn't surprised at all?
No, I wasn't surprised. Even before the fight, Beltran came back and talked to us and told us that, you know, he was going to let us fight to the end, you know, until we're not intelligently defending ourselves. He was going to let us fight through adversity, and which I respected, which is what I wanted. But, you know, we just rewatched the fight and I dropped him five times. So I broke that record.
Five times, Jimmy.
Yeah. It was, and it did surprise me a little bit, you know, because I would draw, I folded him back like three times, and you know, he kept fighting back up to his feet, and he was so tough, and I knew he was tough, you know. Every time I would drop him, he would fight back up to his feet, and I would drop him again. He'd fight back up to his feet, and then at one point, I was thinking, oh, you know, I'm just gonna flatten him out and start going for the choke. You know, I had to show that Sarah BJJ, and I start going for the choke, but he defended it well. He turned out of it, and I decided to stay on top, clamp down at mount, you know, sink my hooks in, flatten him out with the hips, and keep punching until it was over.
Let me ask you this. Like, during the scout, did you watch a lot of film on him? Did you know that you'd be able to put your hands on him like that, watching the film on him?
Yeah. Watching all his film, I knew that he was going to be in my face. I actually thought he was going to come out a little bit hotter, but you know, I knew that he was going to be in my face the whole time and that I was going to land some shots. And I wanted to get it to the ground and I wanted to really work him on the ground. And, you know, I'll take the knockdowns, but I was going to try to take him down as well. And, you know, yeah, knocked him down. I kept pounding and we got the finish.
It's got to be nice to know you took like virtually no damage. So you probably want to get back in there and fight quickly if you can.
Yeah, you know, I got to get my hand x-rayed. I think I might have broke my hand.
Well, there I go saying no damage. I couldn't have been wronger.
But I mean, it's not my first. I've broken this hand like three times. So it's not my first time. But I got to get an x-ray and hopefully it's not broken. It's just pretty swollen. But yeah, I want to stay busy this year. You know, I'm healthy besides my hand. And, you know, our team, we got a lot of fights coming up. The Sarah Longo team, we got a lot of great up-and-comers, pros, amateurs coming. So I need to get back to the gym. I need to help out my teammates. And yeah, it's going to be a great year for us.
Great guy, Matty. He's such a great guy. You see what we're dealing with here? Such a nice guy.
Matt, so based on where you're at in your career, what do you think your ceiling is in the division?
You know, on my best day, I could beat anybody in the world. And I truly believe that, you know, if I come out there with my A game, I'm good on the feet. I'm good in the grappling. I'm good on the ground. You know, I see myself, I could hang with anybody and I could finish anybody on any given day. So, you know, I believe that. And as long as I'm prepared, I put in a great fight camp. I put in the work. My confidence is there. My confidence is through my hard work and my preparation. And with this team behind me, preparing me, I know I could walk into that octagon and fight and beat anybody.
Well, and the reason why I say that it's not because that's a style that I think is that the UFC loves, that you'll be around for a long time. And I'm not saying that you couldn't be champion, but I'm saying that you have a style that they seem to love to bring you in to fight and just build and build you up to have like be a big fan favorite, like Clay Guida, like Donald Cerrone.
Yeah, I love those comparisons. You know, those guys are legends. And I think I'm starting to be known that, you know, every time Steamroller walks in that octagon, you better tune in because it's going to be a banger. And, you know, I've got a lot of weapons that I haven't been able to show yet in the octagon. So that's why I'm real excited. That was actually the last fight on my UFC contract. So I'm hoping to get a new deal done. You know, it was a big fight for me coming off those losses and last fight on my contract. So, you know, that was big. We got it done. We got the finish. And I'm hoping to get a new deal done and keep these performances rolling in the octagon.
For any of our fans that haven't seen Matt Favola fight, you know, throw him on the fight pass. Never in a boring fight. Your fight with Lando was amazing. Your fight with Lando Venata, right? That was fucking insane. Yeah. Dude, what about when you fought the tarantula, that big 6-foot-something lightweight? That was insane. Yeah. It was like a monster movie. I'm telling you, Maddie, you're never in a boring fight. You're so entertaining. You know, I'm not just saying that because you hang out with me.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Dean Thomas, what if the answer to his question was, oh, the ceiling? I think I can get to around 8 or 9 in the world, hopefully. The fuck? What's my ceiling? Ah! Top 12 on a good day? I'm only breaking balls.
Are you saying you didn't like that question?
Jimmy, why am I so on the offense today?
Because you took a beating in the picks and you wanted to have something good.
That wasn't bad. I was more in a playful mood, but now I'm just upset.
Don't be.
But listen, I'm so happy though. If there's a cloud 10, Maddie should be on it because he had his back against the wall and he didn't show that it was. He didn't fight hesitant. You understand? You're not out there watching Francis Ngannou versus the Black Beast. Why am I attacking those guys?
I don't know.
You know? I mean, you know, I'm confident. What the fuck am I doing? My point is this. Maddie gave 0 Fs. He went out there like a goddamn Spartan. And look at him, man. He doesn't even need stitches.
Yeah, we're good to go.
And listen, not only that, but even at the end of the fight, being on cloud 9, after all them circumstances, getting the finish, he still had the awareness to be like, yo, I'm giving a shout out to Matt Serra. That's why I called you, Matt, and was like, yo, did you hear the shout out that you got from Matt Favola?
You texted me.
Yeah.
I texted you back. I'm goddamn right I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I got so much work at Serra BJJ this camp. I mean, with Matt, with Jason Rao, with all the wrecking crew on the Serra BJJ mats. I mean, my jiu-jitsu has never felt better. I was throwing the gi back on, you know. I love jiu-jitsu.
We got such a good crowd, Maddie, over at us. I was at the other day, the day of your fight, Saturday. It was at my school in the morning at 9 a.m. And then I went over to watch the sparring at Law with Steven Lee and all those guys. And Damian.
Yeah, we got the champ back in town, right? Aljo's home.
Aljo was there. Yeah, we had a blast, man. That had you destroy at night. I got some Pizza Supreme. Did you ever go to Pizza Supreme right near Law?
No, I haven't. They got some.
I got to take you there, man. When I'm back, it's a square slice that's very unique.
I'll take you to a better spot. We got to go to Sinelli's Pizza. That's where we need to go.
That's your wife's place.
That's my wife's place. Sinelli's Pizza right in Franklin Square. I had a nice grandma pie right when I landed waiting for me.
Nassau Boulevard? Where is that?
Hempstead Turnpike.
I got to go. We're going.
Oh, we're going.
Jimmy, where are you going to take me?
My favorite New York place, Sbarro's. That's my favorite New York pizzeria, Sbarro's in Times Square.
I'll tell you about Sbarro's. I stopped at that on the road trips to AC.
Jimmy, you don't eat that. Every time I see you got a salad and some peanuts.
I know, and I'm still fat. It really does me no good. I should just eat pizza and enjoy life. Hey, did it feel good beating a guy who was undefeated? Does that mean anything extra to you? I mean, maybe in the moment it doesn't, but when you're finished with it, does it feel good to put that first L on his record?
Yeah, it does. I mean, he was 10-0 with like 10 finishes. You know, he had a great record, and you know, I was able to go in there and put him away. But you know, I've been where he's been. I remember I was undefeated coming off the Contender Series, making my UFC debut, and you know, I got a reality check, and that kind of really helped me throughout my career. You know, after that first loss in my UFC debut, I came back stronger and had great fights. So I expect nothing less from this guy. You know, I got to talk to him after the fight. He's a good dude. And, you know, I think this loss is just going to, you know, help him in his career.
How many had you won in a row before you lost?
I was 6-0 making my UFC debut. And now that was my seventh fight in the UFC, which is crazy to think. I've got more than half of my professional fights in the octagon, which is pretty crazy.
Damn.
Did it change anything? Because, again, we talk a lot about, or I do, how somebody reacts after they're undefeated for X amount of time and then loses a fight. Does it some guys, again, come right back and win, and other guys, it sends them onto a skid. Did it do anything to you? Were you concerned about how you were going to perform the first fight back on that eighth fight?
No. You know, after that, I had my first loss, and then, you know, I got back to the gym, and I got more technical. I started using my head more, and it only made me better. And then, you know, my second fight in the UFC, coming off that loss, I got a fight at Madison Square Garden against Lando Venata, an experienced guy, and we went out and had one of our best performances, which, you know, it was a draw, but I won that fight. It was good.
Oh, I'm going to tell him you said that.
No, Lando's a good dude too, but he's down at 145 now. So I wanted that rematch for a while, but Lando went down to 145. So, hey, maybe my boy Billy Q can handle that one. So we'll see.
Another guy who's always entertaining.
Yeah, always fun to watch.
So you said, when are you back home, by the way? You going to Florida? Where are you going?
No, I got back home yesterday. I'm back in Strong Island. Ate a nice bacon, egg, and cheese this morning. You know, had some Sinelli's pizza last night. You know, life is good.
You're back in the mix.
But you had a bacon, egg, and cheese bagel?
I had it on a roll this morning. Nice two eggs over medium. Well done bacon, cheese, salt, pepper, hot sauce on a roll. Woo! Let's go.
How long do you eat bad? Like after you fight, how long do you give yourself just to kind of eat what you want?
Oh man. You know, I've been known to cream roll a little bit. So, you know, it's all part of my process. I say you need the cream to get the steam. So we're going to get a little cream and then we transform it to the steam and then we're good to go.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I like that shit.
I've never heard that.
Matt, why you make that face?
Why?
Face like that was the corniest thing you ever heard.
Maddie, listen to me. If you said that, I swear I might attack you, but Maddie's the nice guy. I can't. Anybody else, Maddie and Marab, get a free pass with anything.
You don't like that? You need the cream to get the steam. Come on.
I like that, man. It builds your self-esteem and the steam. And what else we got that runs?
I got my processes. You know, I go cream roller, steam roller, and then the day of weigh-ins, I'm the lean roller. And then we get back to the steam roller, and then we're back to the cream roller. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I used to fucking blow up between fights. You know?
Yeah, me too. My last fight was in high school.
Jimmy. What'd you think, Keith Thomas?
And I said, now you're all blown up.
What? Show me your abs right now, Dean Thomas. Show me. Show me, motherfucker. Show me your abs. Where you going? In front of Maddie and Jimmy. Come on. I'll do it.
No, I don't trust. Let me see. Go ahead.
Same time. I don't know you.
All right. Same time. Yeah, all right.
Show it.
Same time.
Show your abs. Show your abs. Are you showing? Right. I've got to wait. I don't see it.
I don't see yours either, Matt.
Well, I'll show you mine. Okay. Yeah, it's a little chubby, but I'm a little chubby.
Yeah, I see him. Maybe I see him.
Know it now. I'm a little chubby.
Yeah.
Dean, that's a black shirt. That's a black shirt. Show me your fucking abs.
You really want to see it?
And maybe you guys should cut out mine because I'm not as lean as the
Nah, you look good.
I'm not the lead. Dean Thomas, put your shirt down. Hey, you're losing friends, Dean Thomas. Okay, listen. I haven't won many battles, but I believe I won that one.
Yeah, you got that. I give you that one.
Dean, what was I going to say? Well, I'm going to see you in Kansas City soon.
Yeah, man. I'll be in Kansas. We both won in Kansas City.
Yeah, fuck yeah, oh man.
I was hanging out with Laura Sanko the other day. She gonna be in Kansas City too.
You guys looking for a fight?
Yes, yeah. We are. Maddie watches the show. Maddie supports us. Jimmy's an evil little bird who doesn't like to support his friend.
Not true. I'm just
special. I watch him do that shitty ass Irishman.
Thank you.
I almost fell asleep and I see Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, then I go watch him. Fucking Irishman. Oh boy. It ain't exactly Goodfellas.
As long as you enjoyed my part.
I went to Jimmy's show at Caroline's.
Thank you, Dean.
Yeah, I tell you, Matt, you got to go, man. You got to watch the show. I went there with Phoenix. It was great, too.
I'm not vaxxed.
Oh.
You know, my dirty ass can't go in there. I'm clean.
Well, maybe soon.
All right, let's let Maddie go. Maddie, yeah. I'm going to see you soon enough. Anything you want to plug, Maddie?
Yeah, I just thank you, everyone who supports me, my whole team, you know, everyone at Longo and Weidman MMA, everyone at Sarah BJJ, everyone at Gracie Tampa South, everyone at Acceleration Sports Training, you know, the whole team, you know, ride or dies, everyone. And we're riding.
Dude, so happy for you, man. Yeah. So happy for you. I'll probably see you within a week or so, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, man. We'll celebrate. You know, we'll hit Eddie's. We'll hit your wife's spot.
Say yeah, what, yeah.
Your wife's place again.
Sinelli's.
Sinelli. We're going to Sinelli's.
Yes, we are.
We're
going
to Sinelli's, Maddie. Congrats, Maddie.
Thanks, good talking to you, Matt. Congratulations. Great, great fight, man.
Peace, homie.
Nice talking to you guys.
I'll tell you, Cody Stamann had a hard time.
Yeah, poor Cody Stamann, man. I feel bad for him because I think he's better than what his record suggests. Like, I think he's a pretty good – he's a good fighter, man, but he just hasn't had any luck lately.
Yeah.
It's true. But we should give Saeed some
incredible
some respect there.
Yeah, that was a tough out for him. But how about this kid, Victor Henry?
Yeah.
I thought he looked great, man. The newcomer who fought Anthony Barcelos. Yeah, Victor Henry. I thought he did. I thought he was great.
Barcelos is no walk in the park, and he handled it very handily.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that Vanessa Demopoulos. I'll tell you, what a beautiful arm lock. And yeah. Silvana Gomez was looking great.
I know.
Suarez.
And how about Vanessa Demopoulos jumped in Joe Rogan's arms like Scooby-Doo?
That was funny. She looks like she has a great personality. So, yeah, if anybody wants to watch Dana White looking for a fight, myself and Dean Thomas eating cow balls. Dean, you want to ask him about eating cow balls? You don't care about eating bull balls?
No, it was cool.
No, Jimmy, you don't want to ask him about that?
I've seen people eat. I've seen in the radio studio, I've seen people eat animal testicles, bull balls. It's very unpleasant.
Like the way you say it, like it's no big deal.
No. I don't. I mean, I've seen it. It's horrible. It's terrible.
Eating it wasn't that bad. It kind of was like calamari. Like making it was a lot worse.
But did you feel weird though when they were just like on your nose and the bull is looking back at you?
Don't answer that. Listen to me. You're so gross. Hey, you're so proud of that one.
Yeah.
So gross. Did you like Michael Pereira the other day?
Oh, he looked great. Yeah, I enjoy that fight very much. It's like he did what he normally does.
Yeah, Andre Flau had his moments. Like you thought he was going to start utilizing the jab, and then it just didn't go right. It started. I mean, he's really an athletic freak, though. That Pereira.
Yeah.
He's really accurate. He's accurate with his strikes.
Yeah, but also Fialo is only using his hands. And again, I'm certainly not going to critique him. He's got great hands. But it seems like in MMA, when you're only using your hands, guys kind of know what to do with you.
Yeah, for sure. I thought, I think with Michelle Pereira is it's easy to get lost in how good he is because he is so flashy. And like sometimes you just think of him as a flashy guy, but he's actually really good. Good power, like freak athlete. Yeah, he's going to be tough for anybody to deal with.
Who are some other guys? I mean, I think of Junior. Who are some other guys that are really only using their hands or predominantly using their hands where it's almost like it's something that they need to fix?
Bobby Green, maybe? But Bobby Green's really good with his hands. But does he do a lot of kicks, Bobby Green?
No, not really. You're right. He does use his hands a lot. He
does a lot of fucking rolling, coming back and stuff. Yeah.
Do that again, Matt. You look like Floyd Mayweather.
Go, bro. Me, I'm just like a turtle. I just go, can't find my chin, you know? But, hey, man, all I know is I don't think it's a good idea for Francis to try to fight the Gypsy King for fucking 12 rounds. You can't throw. Dude, what are you doing, man? Listen, I know you want a payday, but at the end of the day, if it's mixed martial arts, it's a different story. You want a big payday to take a beating. You're not beating the Gypsy King in a fucking boxing
match. No, not in a boxing match. No way.
You don't have that X factor of saying, all right. You don't have that plan B of I'm getting lit up. Let's do what I did to Gon. Let me power bomb him. No. Now you're just getting lit up and your big muscles are full of blood and it's not a good thing.
Because
I like Francis. I don't want to come across the wrong way. I think Francis is awesome. And I think he's a freaking monster. But I think he should stick with MMA and hopefully they get something settled with his contract.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see him box.
No, I don't either. Even though I do like the idea of UFC gloves and boxing rules, I think that's a really interesting thing. And I think Tyson Fury said that or suggested that. But yeah, a guy like Francis, who's devastating in MMA, I don't think that he would do as well against a guy like who does nothing but get out of the way of punches.
Yeah, but that's worse. That's worse for Francis with MMA gloves.
Yeah, maybe.
Like he made it sound like it was gonna be better. That's worse. He's getting hit with a smaller glove. He can't block with a smaller glove.
It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that is worse for Francis. I don't necessarily need to see that fight anyway. I mean, you know.
Man, I want to watch MMA fighters fight MMA fighters. That's what I want to watch. I don't like watching fucking freak shows. If guys want to come over here, great. That's awesome. You get strangled, you get arm broken.
Hey, but Matt, how do you feel about MMA fighters getting set up in these grappling matches against these dudes, man? I'm getting a little sick of that.
What do you mean? Like,
well, thank God Sean Brady had a draw with Craig Jones, but like,
he beat him though. Yeah.
You're right. He did beat him. But like, other than that, man, like we've been seeing like these grapplers going in there with these, you know, going up against like these really good grapplers. And it's just like, man,
it's unnecessary because it's, like, unnecessary. It's not your wheelhouse. Like it's not, there's no striking involved. So like, there's no reason why like a Ciryl Gane wouldn't have got punished for that shit. He probably still would have beaten Ngannou if it was a grappling match. But like, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's a big difference between, you know, grappling in MMA and grappling for just now, especially just the pure modern submission grappling with the leg locks and stuff, which is beautiful. And it does have a place even in MMA, of course, but it doesn't always transition smoothly. So these MMA guys, it's a fraction of what they have to do. The reason why, like with me and the Cerro Longo team has a good thing is they do all this sparring and everything over at Longo's. Nobody's sparring at my place. Very rare. Not happening unless we just do it. We have a cage there, but normally we don't. Everybody's getting their fucking nitty gritty over at Longo's place, which is kind of like something that'll Rocky III if you're walking that motherfucker. My place is a jiu-jitsu school, so I have purists that are just looking to take off limbs. So it gets my fighters better. Because it's something like when I'm going out to like a Gleason's or boxing gym or a pure, go to Thailand for their Muay Thai, they're coming down with guys that are like some of the best in the world that are just taking your limbs off. So you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a big piece of the puzzle, but it is a different sport, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So I went to that Fury grappling thing and it was like, you know, Kevin Holland and Phil Rowe, and they were going up against just like, you know, random guys. So like they're putting their names on the line against like these random guys and just getting beat down because they don't grapple like that.
But you know what's funny, man? Imagine these same random guys jumped in an MMA fight with these same guys. I mean, there was a difference with Craig Jones. He's a big dude, but like, not that he would do better with that. But I'm saying, like, you know, they would most likely get tooled up, the MMA, the jiu-jitsu guy.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
But don't you respect Kevin Holland for doing it, though, just because it's been kind of shown as like a flaw of his, and guys are capitalizing on it. It seems like that's what he's concentrating on.
I totally respect them for doing that.
Yeah.
I just think that it's kind of unfair. You know, like these guys it's just unfair. And they should probably get more credit for putting their name on the line than anything else, because it's kind of unfair. Like they're stepping up and going out of their comfort zone to go up against specialists in their art. And they should get more credit for it as opposed to being like, yeah, we're using these guys, because it almost feels like they're using MMA fighters' names to make themselves look better.
Maybe.
Got a point there, Jimmy.
Yeah, he definitely does. But everybody knows, it's almost like when a boxer beats an MMA fighter. Wow, that was great. But everybody knows that if you were allowed to just fight with MMA rules, that they would lose. Like everyone knows. No one thinks Tyron is losing to Jake Paul in a cage. You know, nobody thinks that with the ability to wrestle, he's going to lose to Jake
Paul. But that's what I feel bad about Ben Askren, dude. Because Ben Askren, it's funny. They were shit-talking him and Jake Paul. And he was like, yo, if this was like a back alley in Vegas, I could commit a homicide on you. And he could. Ben Askren could. He could out-grapple him easily and ragdoll him and do what he would. But instead, he chose to fight him on that field. And now it's like a meme and shit. You know, it's crazy. You know, you got to know when your time's to walk away. Guys, this morning, man, I went to the fucking orthopedist thing or whatever. You know, I've been having problems in my shoulder. So I'm thinking it's kind of where I had those blood clots, Jimmy. So my wife is kind of nervous. So I have to go. I'm going today to go get an ultrasound to make sure nothing's there. But the guy did an x-ray. He goes, hey, dude. He goes, man, I'll tell you what's going on. You go get the thing just to make sure there's no clots in there. We'll get the ultrasound. But, dude, you got fucking arthritis in your shoulder. He gave me the x-ray. So, dude, my knees got arthritis, my fucking shoulder now. I don't need this shit. No wonder why I'm living on marijuana.
Why don't you get them fixed, Matt? Get your knees fixed. Do you have to do them both at once or can you do one at a time?
Nah, not both at the same time. I'll be a total cripple. I don't like that. Okay. I'd have to do one at a time like Bisping did. Bisping, people are saying you'd be able to do what you're able to do. This doctor today is like, oh, no, you wouldn't want to grapple with a shoulder replacement or knee replacements because if you get something broken with the metal in there and the this and that, I go, oh, my God, you fucking negative Nilly.
Yeah. You don't need that shit.
I don't need to talk to that guy. A nice guy. But I got to roll, Jimmy. I don't care. I'll valor roll and walk. It's true, man. Dean Thomas, help me. Help me, Dean Thomas.
I've seen you walk, and I feel bad every time I do. I almost want to carry you. I'm like that. I almost want to carry you around like Hezbollah.
But, Dean, I can still roll, though, bro.
I know.
I can still move. I can still handle a motherfucker if he wants to test me. Leg kicks my ass. I'll grab a hold of that thing. But listen, I can still move. I'm still dangerous. Isn't that more important? If I get under the knife, who knows if I'm going to be able to roll again?
But what if you were out? Like, say you were out in public and a guy gave you a hard time, but he was bigger than you. Then Jimmy, wouldn't you worry?
Dean Thomas, Jimmy's so silly. Listen, we have
Matt will just get on his back and choke him out.
Listen, I'm on. You can't answer these silly questions by Jimmy. he wants me to say, oh, but it don't matter because I did jiu-jitsu. Listen, Jimmy, you got to get back to training.
I know, buddy. I know. I'm finally back in the gym and really on my diet too. I have a lot of weight to lose. How far is your place from the city, Matt?
Literally, it goes right to the, if you're driving or?
LIE or LIRR?
The LIRR, it's going to be like 55 minutes to go right to Huntington, around that, under an hour. And driving, probably around the, depending on what you're doing.
6 hours driving, yeah.
It depends on when you leave in traffic. But you're always welcome, you know?
Yeah, I wish you was close. I wish you were closer, but I understand.
Well, listen, before we, any of the other fights, we talked about everything. Dean Thomas, what do you want to plug, my man? Besides Dana for a fight.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I can plug the comedy show on Fight Pass that I did with Adam Hunter and
Eve Edwards.
Dale Sonnen and Henry Cejudo.
Who?
Oh, did you guys do stand up or did you do was it sketches?
No, we did stand up. We all did about, you know, 5-10 minutes.
That's awesome.
Now yeah. I know you're funny. How was Cejudo? Because I can't Chael, I could see just talking through something, being kind of, he could just do, I could think he could swing it for and get the, you know.
Hey man, I think you'll be surprised, man. Cejudo did a really good job, man.
Yeah. A lot of
he's a good talker. That's not a surprise. He's a good communicator. It's not surprising that he's funny in front of an audience. I could see him be funny.
Yeah, and he's a winner. He's a natural winner. So he I don't know if I don't even know if he wrote it or not, but like it was, he did a really good job.
I like the way you made that. Like, because I know. How about this? Who wrote yours?
I did.
Oh well. Who wrote Chael's? The Chael write his?
Chael, you know Chael wrote his.
So you're saying Henry Cejudo didn't write his?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying like it was really funny. But you know how some people don't be writing their own stuff. You know what I'm saying? They be trying to cheat. So
yeah, I know. Like Dana on Looking for a Fight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know,
like when guys get nervous, when they're nervous and there's a lot on the line, they just have somebody else write it. But I'm just saying Henry was funny, and I'm hoping that he wrote it.
Henry.
Yeah, Henry.
Henry. Yeah. Say. Jimmy.
Henry. Hey, but fellas, I gotta bounce, man. Okay. I gotta get in and do some work.
Who are you working with at this secret location? You're so secretive. Look at you.
No, actually, you know what's funny is I got Aspen Ladd here. We're doing some stuff here. I'm doing some stuff with Aspen Ladd.
And did she ever hear of Kimura Ladd? All right, listen.
Yes, good talking.
Dean, what else you want to plug? Anything?
That's it, man. That's all I got. Looking for a fight, brother.
Woo! I'll see you in a couple of weeks, man.
Yeah.
See you, buddy. Good seeing you, dude.
All right, y'all.
Take care, Dean Thomas.
Peace.
That was fun, man. thank you to Dean, who I love, and of course, Matt Frivola. And Max Crosby was fun to have on, too. This was a fun one.
Jimmy.
Yes, pal.
I you know I care about you. You know if you had any problems, you can call me. I miss you a lot.
I miss you too, but I would love to. If you were closer, I would love to. But I want to start in the city. I keep saying that, but I really do.
You let me know. I got connections.
I know you got Henzo's place. I wish there was a place closer to me, but I would still, I'm sure Henzo's worth it to go. Where's he on 35th?
He's on 30th between, I believe, 7th and 8th.
Oh, okay. 7th.
Yeah, he's right next to Penn Station, man. Yeah, man.
So he's on 30th, huh?
30th, bro.
Oh, that's closer than I thought.
Yeah, it's right there. All right, listen, Jimmy, what do you want to plug, my friend?
Just, today's Monday. This Wednesday, I'm doing a show in New York at 7 p.m., working on my hour, just putting together material. It's always good. Just go to the Comedy Cellars website. And then in February, I got New Hampshire, Connecticut, Boston, and then San Francisco, D.C. coming up. So just check out my website, and I'm there.
All right, Jimmy. I will, I'll talk to you, my friend, in a few days.
See you soon.
A couple days. Bye, Jimmy.
Take care, pal.
Miss you already.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.